You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And it's a new day if you want it to be. Hi, I am Rhett Palmer. And glad you're listening to our broadcast today. We have, if you step in just a little bit more here, Charles Waddell. Charles Waddell is a cool guy because he was in air conditioning for I guess how many years? 35 years, right?
36.
Speaking of that, Charles didn't close the door all the way. If you could close the door, I'd appreciate it. People don't know it takes a lot to close that door properly. But welcome to the broadcast, and I met you before, met you again last night at a Bible study, and you have some terrific stories to tell. I do want to get your testimony. I think of keen interest to me, though, is that you got to see someone who I would like to have seen live, and that is Catherine Coleman. Now, this is a lady, by the way, folks, if you're younger generation, I mean, I don't know that much about her, but I think she preceded some of these Benny Hinn-type people. I don't know how legitimate he is. That's not my business. I don't know how legitimate anybody is anymore. But I know that there were some miraculous encounters. I remember running into a man who is a pastor. This is about 30-something years ago over in Tampa, and he had been healed. He was dying of cancer, had days to live, and was miraculously healed. I ran into Lydia Silvestri recently. She had hours to live. She had cancer throughout her whole body, claims that Jesus appeared in her hospital room and totally healed her, and this is years and years and years later. So how are you doing, first of all?
Doing great, Red. Glad to be here this morning. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, great to have you here. You seem like a man who has wisdom. You speak softly, you know. Usually it's the guys that don't talk as much or as loud seem to have the wisdom. I guess that puts me out of the game. But I'm interested in finding out about you and delivering your testimony to our listeners. Maybe we'll encourage some people. Maybe we'll change some lives radically. Well, the Lord through us will.
Amen.
Let's put it that
Amen.
Way. Yeah. So when did you become a believer?
Back when I was 22 years old, now I'm 78 years old, so that's been a few days.
Yeah.
I got out of the service when I was about 21, and I would try to go to work for Eastern Airlines. Thank God I didn't because they went out of business. But I went to work for this man who was a Christian, not been around Christians, especially in the Army that much. And so I said, okay, I'll go to work for this guy. He seemed like a nice guy, and I went to work for him and found out he was really a great guy.
And was he in the air conditioning business?
He rebuilt commercial air conditioning compressors, huge monster cast iron and steel compressors.
Isn't it amazing how one encounter with one person can alter the whole route of your life?
It absolutely is. But when I met Earl, at first I wasn't sure he was real. And then I found out that he was real. And I kept watching him.
We're not sure that he was real? Because sometimes they think if you're too nice, they think you're too nice to be true.
Exactly.
And okay. And what finally made you decide? Because you said you checked him out. What do you remember, recall what made you believe that he was the man of integrity you thought he was?
Yes, sir. Let me tell you that. That's so interesting because I tried on the wrong side of life to do everything there was and get ahead. I always just wanted to get ahead. And
what was your background? Were you poor as a child? Middle class?
We didn't. You know, it was one of those things. We really didn't. We traded clothes with my brother and stuff. And you know, whatever mom put on the table, that's what we ate.
Okay.
You know. And at an early age, I decided I just wanted to get ahead. I wanted to make money because I thought that was everything. Because my parents worked constantly. My dad was an alcoholic. He did well till around Christmas time when somebody'd offer him a drink, and then he was off to the races for a couple of months.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible. But he did the best he knew. My dad did the best he knew. He was never raised. He was an orphan when he was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Mother threw him out. And so I went to work for Earl, and Earl, I saw his life. I saw his kids. I saw his wife. I saw how he treated them, and I saw how he seemed to be prospering more and more all the time. And he wasn't lying. He wasn't cheating anybody. He was telling the truth. He's very honest. He used to invite me to church. And I said, yeah, one day maybe. And he invited me to Jesus. And I said, look, when I'm ready for that, you don't know all the stuff I've done. I said, well, if I ever get ready for that, I'll let you know. I was just being honest.
Well, yeah, most people think that, you know, you don't clean the fish before you catch the fish. But so if people want to clean up their act before they come to the Lord, they know that actually that's a good thing. They know they're not good enough. Remember Peter? Jesus is in the boat and says, you know, put your nets down. So, well, we were fishing all night. There's no need to put the nets down. Put your nets down, and they're filled with abundance. And he falls to his knees and goes, I can't even look at you. Depart from me. I am a man of iniquity.
Yeah.
But Jesus knew who he was choosing, didn't he?
Thank God he chose me. He's been so kind to me all these years. I just can't get over it.
So tell the story. So you were given over to wine, women, and song, I presume? You're a handsome guy.
I had a pregnant wife and a little dog.
Pregnant wife and a little dog.
And one night, I picked up my younger brother. He came back from Vietnam. He got strung out on heroin over there. Boy. Came back to Fort Meade, Maryland. And he still was doing drugs. And he got out and he was doing drugs. He was doing heroin. And so I met him this night. He said, Charles, can you give me a ride home? And I said, well, okay. So my wife and I went and picked him up. Mm-hmm. And I was taking him home. And I said, look, James, I'm concerned about you. I said, you and I have tried every bad thing there is to try, and it hasn't worked. It's not working for you. And it looks like you're going to jail, because at that time he just got caught. He bought a lady who was hurting. He bought her a hit of heroin. And when he did, it turned out that she was a cop and the guy with her was a cop.
Oh, boy.
And so he was busted and given a 10-year probation.
Well, okay.
That was back then. So I was talking to him that night on the way home, and I said, James, we have tried absolutely everything there is to try. I don't know anything else to do. I said, but let me tell you something. I went to work for this guy called Earl Moreland, and he has been telling me about Jesus. I said, James, would you like to try Jesus? He said, Charles, shut up and turn the radio up. It's exactly what he told me. Well, it was about 8 months later when he had to move out of town because he was sticking up convenience stores.
Sticking up convenience stores?
Yes, sir. And he moved up to Daytona Beach, and he was living with another addict, and they got into an argument, and the other addict told him that you stole stuff from me, and James said, no, I didn't. And so they got in a little bit of an argument, and the guy said, if you come near me, I'm going to blow you away with a shotgun. Well, my brother just smiled and started walking towards him, and that was the end.
Killed him?
Dead.
You lost your brother.
It was tragic. It was tragic. But the worst thing about that was when I was received a call about my brother, I thought he said John. I thought my friend said John. And John's my oldest son. And I was devastated when he said James. When I asked him again, I said, what did you say? He said James. My heart actually went up a little bit. And I can't explain that to you because I love my brother very much.
But you had a son by then?
Yes.
Okay. Because you had said you had a dog and a wife.
Yeah, well, after that, I had a son and two twins and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, and you still don't know Jesus at this point?
No. But at that point, that night, I dropped him off, and I was turning around going home. And I asked myself, why would you tell your brother about Jesus? And it just came out of me. I said, Lord.
Just like that.
Just like that. And it wasn't me. Now, you have to understand, this is the Holy Spirit working in my life.
Yeah. A lot of things seem to happen in people's cars.
Well.
They're alone with the Lord.
What happened? No, but my wife was with me, and I looked at my wife, and I said, honey, I'm saved. She said, Charles, you're crazy as hell. You know that? It's exactly what she said to me, and I've never changed that because that's how hard it was. She didn't marry a churchgoer, if you understand what I'm saying. She was a good woman.
So you're sitting there, so you're having a hidden conversation with Jesus, even though she's in the car. And you said, Jesus, I believe in. Did you feel anything, sense anything?
No, I'll tell you what happened. Okay. I went home. We were about six blocks away from home. I lived in a little cottage behind a house.
Jesus, I believe in you.
No, this is God. And she says, I'm going to bed. So she went to bed.
That's great.
And I went in. And I got down on my knees in front of our love seat. We called it a couch, but it was a love seat.
I had one of those growing up.
And I said, God, you're not getting a prize here. I said, I can't do anything for you.
That's I said, the way I feel now.
I said, first of all, God, I don't even know how to be a man.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be
a man. Because you didn't have a father. He was absent. You're like me. My father was killed and day before my fifth birthday. So I know the whole thing you're going through. Yeah.
So I said, Lord, if you can do anything in my life, here it is. I just want you to know that.
I said, here I am.
And he knew it. He knew it, but you know, this is coming from somebody that I don't know nothing. You know?
You didn't know nobody's
Christmas.
Preaching at you. Nobody's
Christmas and Easter maybe is what yeah. I knew.
You know? Now somebody must have told you about Jesus.
Well, Earl told me about Jesus.
Oh, so you were quietly watching him from
the
side.
I was watching him, and he was constantly.
How many years had you been working for him? And he was constantly what? He was constantly what? You were going to say something.
He was constantly leading me to Jesus in very subtle ways.
By example.
He turned Christian radio on every day.
Now, how many years have you been working for him when this happened, this conversion experience?
A year and a half, 2 years.
Okay, so 2 years. The same thing happened with me. My friend Bobby Vendetta, he was a bass player. He was much younger than me. But he had said, I got born again. I go, what's that? You know, and I didn't believe in Jesus. The thing happened to Eastern religion. So anyway, but I observed him from the corner of my eye for a year, and I went, wow, something is different about Bobby Vendetta. And you said, so this guy, Earl, which, by the way, is my father's middle name. But anyway, so you said, my biological father, so you said Earl was a witness. I remember Bobby saying this. He said, yeah, I'm a witness. What's a witness? It's someone who you can check out and see that are they really living the life of Jesus Christ, you know? So you check him out for a year and a half. It's amazing. You're in your car and you say, Jesus, I believe in you. Just like that.
Yeah, because I realized my brother was in trouble and there was no way for him to get out. And if there was a way for him to get out, it had to be God. And I said, God, I don't know how to be a man. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father.
Knew that at 21 and a half.
I was about 22, around there. And I said, Lord.
That's an amazing, honest soul you were to yourself. I mean, not that others are dishonest, but we're not even aware maybe, like, you know, like if you're arrogant. I think there were times in my youth when I was arrogant, didn't know I was arrogant. It's hard to know. So how did you have that moment, that clarity, that honesty with self that you knew? Yes.
Well,
I get a kick out of that.
My thing was is that I, as listening to Earl and everything, I knew that God was holy and he was righteous.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was unholy.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Jesus loves me.